This morning, I want to try something just a little bit different. At St. Matthew's, we've been engaging in spiritual practices together, learning new ways to listen for God that can be taken out of this building. Now, we've been doing this at the end of the sermon, but this morning I want to try it at the beginning of the sermon. I want you to get a chance to hear what God has to say to you through this scripture before I tell you what I think. Our Epiphany practice is one of imagining light. So I want you to shift in your chair and get comfortable. Plant your feet evenly on the floor. And if you are comfortable, close your eyes. Or let them just rest downward with a soft focus. Visualize a bright, white star of light emerging in the middle of your forehead. It is the same place where you first touch when you make the sign of the cross. If you are not a visual person, you can simply feel that the light is there. Feel the warmth on your skin. Allow this light to be the light of Christ, through which you are lovingly known. Breathe that light in. And as you breathe it in, it easily fills you. And all other things leave in order to make room for it. They don't fight. They just go. In the next few minutes, I'm going to hold a silence. Allow your mind to be totally still. And as the time continues, let that light slowly expand throughout your whole body, opening you and cleansing you. Breathe the light in and breathe the light out, so that all here is light. Oh God, you are our strong rock and our refuge. In you we have everything that we are. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. After sitting with that experience of light and life, I wonder how this scripture now settles in your mind. How does Jesus speak to you when you hear those words, "Follow me"? How does Jesus speak to you when you hear those words, "Repent and believe the good news"? For me, and I suspect also for some of you, it can be very easy to hear this call of "follow me" or "repent" as a condemnation on your everyday life. It may be easy to hear that what you are doing is not good enough, who you are is not good enough, but to leave behind your father and your boats and your nets, whatever those things are for you, if you leave them behind immediately, then you will be good enough. There is an urgency to the Gospel of Mark. It is terse, it is simple, and the word "immediately" is used at least 40 times. Everything in Mark is done fast, and the telling of the story is short and to the point. Mark was the first of the gospel writers to pen his community's narrative of the Jesus story. And there is always this tension in Mark about how quickly things are happening and how thoroughly decisions are made. James and John, they leave their father, theoretically with his mouth still open, aghast in the thoroughness of it. And Americans are people of immediacy, of constant work, of leaving behind the old ways for the new, of sudden ways that promise alternative results, but really often look like the old ways in new clothing. Americans can be a people of never good enough. And it is a particular kind of individualistic fallacy to think that the urgency in Mark's gospel is about an urgent need to become right, becoming the right kind of person to follow Jesus, or becoming the right kind of disciple. But the immediacy in the Gospel of Mark can also be an urgency of community. The urgency of Jesus standing right in front of us now and saying, "Follow me, because the kingdom of God has been fulfilled." Jesus comes out of the wilderness saying, "Repent and believe the good news." Not repent because you're awful or repent because you're all terrible people. That's not at all what he says. In Greek, the word for repent is metanoia. It means turning physically from one thing to another. It means changing your direction. Jesus is offering people a new direction in which to go, not condemning them for being lazy, bad, or not pious enough. And when he comes proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, he calls Simon and Andrew not to change who they are, but to be who they already are. He doesn't say, "Follow me and I will make you holy or good or strong." He doesn't say, "Follow me and I will turn you into teachers and scholars of the law and miracle workers," even though in some sense that is what he does. What he does say is, "You, fishers, I will make you fishers of people." In the English, the word is fishermen. It is a noun. And then he says fishers of men. He changes it. It turns into a verb. But in the Greek, it's the same word. What he says is, I will take you as you already are, with the skills you already have, and I will call you as Simon and Andrew, leaders in this new community of good news. He says, I will call you into community. I will give you the opportunity for relationship. No longer are you to be fishing for fish within your clan with your father and his hired hands, but instead you will gather people of all nations and all clans and all stations to you. Being transformed by the good news yourself, you will throw it out like your nets, and the people will be drawn to you. The good news creates a bond that ties you to new life and new people and a new way. So it is not about whether you or not you are good enough. It is about the urgency of what is right in front of you now, the community to which you are called. We are urgently needed to show up just as we are, without waiting to be good enough, to follow the God who calls us. We are urgently needed, and the way is immediate. And God calls us not to condemnation and anger, but with a promise that the kingdom is fulfilled, with the promise of good news that transforms all things, that transforms fishers into fishers of people. And so again, I ask you, what did you hear God say to you while you let your mind fill with light? Where is Jesus calling you into a community of good news? Does Jesus call you away from your boats and your nets, whatever those things might be for you, asking you to be a bearer of good news? How is Jesus asking you to follow him as the person that you already are? And how might that impact the communities where you live and serve and work? Amen.